Blog Talk Radio.
No.
Thank you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. We call upon the mighty name of Jesus. It quoted in Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our King. We come today, Father God, to dwell in the secret place with you, abiding under your shadow, Almighty. We will say of you, Lord, you are our refuge, you are our fortress, my God, and you do we trust. You are the great I am. You are Alpha, the beginning, you are Omega, the end. There's nobody greater than you. We thank you for blessing us with your presence 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We thank you that you never get tired of us, O God. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for downloading obedience within us, O God, so we can obey your every desire. Your desire is our desire, O God. We come, Lord God, as your faithful servants, humbly before you, Father God, asking forgiveness for any way that we've sinned against you, O Most High. Our goal is to please you, O Most High, to please you in every way. You are a great God. You are a faithful God. You are our creator. There is nobody greater than you. Nobody. You are the all-wise, almighty God, the almighty King, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. You are the one who created kings in your image, O God. You created the presidents, O God, past and those who are now and those that are to come. You created leaders in your own image, O God. We lift up every leader in America, O God, and we pray for salvation for leaders of this land, O God, that godly men and women will come to know you as Lord and Savior. They will repent of their wicked ways and turn and follow you, O God, so our nation can be blessed. I thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, for every leader following your plan for this nation, O God, that they will drop their plans, their wicked laws, and enact righteous laws. The people perish from unrighteous laws. So, Father God, our desire, O God, in the name of Jesus, is to be faithful to you in every way, to follow your plan in the mighty name of Jesus. Our desire, O God, in the name of Jesus, is to follow you, Father God, to the ends of the earth. We thank you, Father, for all that you're doing on our behalf and behalf of your children, Father. We thank you for the mighty plans that you have, that you keep us in your mighty thoughts, O God. And today, Father God, we just thank you for thinking of us. You who are holy, you who are righteous, think of us who are human. What a great God you are, and how blessed we are to be able to be thought of by the Most High God. Father, we have a president in the United States, and he doesn't even know our name. But you know our name. You even know how many hairs upon our head. There is nothing secret. You know our fingerprints. You are the one who made sure we were birthed into this earth. And you have continued to give us life. You have continued to give us abundant life. And we come with grateful hearts to say thank you, O God. And we just bind the enemy who would try to come against the plan of you, O God. Let every plant that you did not plant, Father God, be rooted out in the name of Jesus. We lay the axe to the root of every evil tree in our lives. Let every ungodly generational tap root be cut and pulled out of our bloodline in the name of Jesus. Let the roots of wickedness be as rottenness. We speak to every evil tree to be uprooted and cast into the sea. Let your holy fire burn up every ungodly root in the name of Jesus. Let the confidence of the enemy be rooted out in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for what you're doing on our behalf, O God, in the name of Jesus. Let your holy fire burn up every ungodly root in Jesus' name. Let the confidence of the enemy be rooted out. Let every root of bitterness be cut from our lives in the name of Jesus. Let the prophetic word be released to root out evil kingdoms in the name of Jesus. Let any evil person planted in our church be rooted out in the name of Jesus. Let any sickness rooted in our bodies be plucked up in the name of Jesus. Let all false ministries that have rooted themselves in our cities be plucked up in the name of Jesus. Let every bramble and nettle be plucked up from our lives in the name of Jesus. Let all thorns be burned out of our lives in the name of Jesus. Let all spirits root in rejection come out in the name of Jesus. Let all spirits rooted in pride come out in the name of Jesus. Let all spirits rooted in rebellion come out in the name of Jesus. Let all spirits rooted in fear come out in the name of Jesus. Let all spirits rooted in lust and sexual sin come out in the name of Jesus. Let all spirits rooted in curses come out in the name of Jesus. Let all spirits rooted in witchcraft come out in the name of Jesus. Let all spirits rooted in any part of our body and organs come out in the name of Jesus. And Father, we are grateful to you, O Most High. We come to thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy in the name of Jesus. So we say good evening and welcome to Boys to Men, Girls to Ladies. I'm your host, Caritha Gantling, also known as Sister G. And we are about the Father's business of training his children, our children. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way that he should or she should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. What does it mean to train children? You know, we train our animals. We even go to obedience school so that our dogs, our pets can be, you know, trained. So they ain't running wild and loose. And when we say sit, they sit down. When we say move, they move. When we say come and eat, they come and eat. But, you know, we neglect to train our children. We neglect to train them, the ones that God gave us as a gift. Oh, to train not only to direct the growth of our children, but it's also to inform, means to inform by instruction, discipline, or drill, to teach as to make fit, qualified, or proficient, to make prepared. Let's look closely at each definition for training. The first one says to direct the growth. Let's think about a plant. You know, when you plant, you put it in good soil. Then you water and you put it in the sun. Either direct or shaded sunlight, depending on the type of plant. Well, when you train your child or your children, you start when they're in the belly. You talk to them, you tell them you are waiting on their arrival. You tell them positive things. Dad, your daddy and I are so happy that God chose us to be your parents. We are so happy that God chose you to be our child, whether if it's a single child, if it's twins or triplets or our children. You know, you can sing to them, you can play godly songs to them, but when you play, make sure it's soft music because children's ears are very, very sensitive. And, you know, teaching school over the years, the longer I taught, our children began to have hearing problems. And I said, well, Lord, why are they having such hearing problems? Because of loud music. You know, we should never put our babies. You can tell your children, your grandchildren, your great-grand, we should never put our babies directly in front of loud music. Or even in the car, we have to be careful that those you know, audio sounds are not in their ears. It can damage their eardrums and cause them to have hearing problems. You know, a lot of children have tubes in their ears now, you know, because a lot of times in nursery school they get infections in their ears or, you know, just whatever the problem, but we want to be cautious. Now, you know, when you start training them, you know, very young, you know, God has entrusted each of us as parents with a special gift. Excuse me. And with that gift comes tremendous responsibility. Some people take it lightly that God has given us, you know, that privilege of raising his little precious children. They really belong to him. He's loaned them to us, just like he loaned us to our parents for a particular period of time. But, you know, while they're in our care, he wants them to be trained. He don't want them to grow up like weeds outside. He wants them to be pruned and trained and cared about. You know, we must take it upon ourselves to inspire, to teach, to nurture every aspect of our children's development, particularly their spiritual development. Spiritual growth and development of our children, you know, it's very, very important. And each child is unique. You can't take two children in the same family and train them the same way because they're different. You know, some respond quicker than others. Some learn faster. Some learn slower. Some, you know, catch on just like that. Some you don't even have to say anything to. They just kind of, you know, start on their own to take responsibility. So, you know, we have to train our children in love. You know, we have to be careful not to, you know, to scream at them and holler at them and, you know, we're human too, of course. You know, sometimes we do scream at them. They don't get it the first time, the second time, third time. You know, sometimes older people, they used to throw shoes at us. Hey, didn't you hear what I said? So, you know, but not harshness. You know, we want to do it in love. And sometimes, you know, it may call for not harsh, though, but a little bit of making sure they understand what you're saying. You know, even as infants, you know, when they're young, very young, during these early years, you know, children are very susceptible to spiritual influence and instruction. I remember teaching Sunday school, and the youngest child that we taught was about 2 weeks old. And I wasn't, you know, we wouldn't think we were teaching her. We just thought she was just sitting in her little, you know, in that little holder, sitting in her little high chair or seat. In the little carrier, you know, you carry them in. She never said a word. She would cry. We would change her diaper. And, you know, we would sing songs and clap our hands and pray over her and, you know, tell stories. Never knew that this child was listening. So when she got to be a year old, one Sunday, and she didn't come every Sunday. She came a lot, though. But one Sunday, her mother brought her to church when she was about a year old. And her mother said, "What's that song you're teaching her?" And we said, "She can talk." Her mother said, She sing those songs every day. And I said, "Oh, my God." I said to myself, "Lord, look at what you're doing in the babies as we're teaching them." And he was showing us that, you know, they can get ideas, concepts. They can understand when they're real young. In the mother's womb, they understand. You know, I get saddened because we have abortion clinics. We're getting rid of live flesh and blood babies. So, you know, I say to the young children, you know, be careful what you're doing. Don't get involved in things you can't handle before you are married. You know, put things in the right order, the right perspective. And we have to teach our children. You know, God created all things. God the Father cares and provides for them. Jesus is God's son, and he loves them. You know, when I taught Sunday school, I used to tell the kids all the time, I said, "Who loves you?" And you know what? I taught them to say, "Jesus." Even when our fathers and mothers have gone on, guess who's still going to be loving on us? Jesus. Even as adults, Jesus loves us. And, you know, as they grow on, you know, ages 3 to 6 years old, those are very formative years. they watch you very closely. Their childhood experiences are great, you know, for them, and they can learn a lot of spiritual things. I remember teaching them 1 to 4 year olds in a church where I went, and I bought little Bibles for them, and we would hold the Bible up and we sing the Bible. That's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the Bible. And we'd hold them up and say Bible. And, you know, the parents would bring them in with pacifiers in their mouth. And I said, well, they're not going to need those pacifiers. They're going to sing. They look at me. They say, Sister G, they can't even talk. How are they going to sing? I tell you what, in a month or two, they come back. Sister G, they're singing. You know, children can learn to sing. Before you can understand what they're saying in words, they can sing. I was in the store today. Out on San Jose, I was in a Native Son, and there was a baby in a buggy. He was probably about a year old, and he's speaking, but I realized it wasn't English. And so I asked his mother, I said, does he know more than one language? She said, yes. A year old, he knew more than one language. He was speaking Romanian, and he spoke English. Now, tell me our children can't learn several languages when they're very young. Look at what they can learn. That child spoke 2 languages, and I barely can speak 1, and he was a year old. Look at what we can teach our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. They learn at very, very young ages. We can instruct them in the ways of God while they're young. So, you know, I always give the Bibles to the children, and if I will forget to give them their Bibles, or I didn't give them to them quick enough, they go, our Bible, Sister G, our Bible. So they were looking for those Bibles. They would learn, you know, at a very young age. And they were so smart. It amazed me at how much God had put in them. And they would remind me of certain things. And I said, oh, my God, I thank you for these babies. I'm telling you, I was the teacher, but I learned more from them than they learned from me. And they were very, very young. So if we observe them and, you know, watch them, we can learn so much from them. And they're so pure. They will tell you, they'll tell you, no, Sister G, no. And you know what? They mean it. They would tell me, I said, come on, we're going to pray. No. I said, oh, yeah, you're going to pray? I said, put your hands together. They tell me, no. But you know what? When it all boiled down, they put those hands together, and they would pray. And I tell you what, once they got started, after they continued to learn how to pray, it was difficult for me to get them to stop. They would pray for every family member. They pray for everything, their animals, their little pets, their little dolls. They pray for everything. You know, whereas we say, Lord, bless my family. Those children were in detail about what they were praying for. So what I'm telling you is they can learn spiritual concepts. They can learn spiritual things at 3, 4 years old, 5 years old, and 6 years old. You know, teach them while they're young. And it doesn't matter what age your children are, they can still learn. You know, I was riding in the car with a young child. He was 6 years old. And I didn't want him just to sit there idly doing nothing. So I said, listen, look at the signs on the street. See that one right there? That says 45 miles an hour. So every time you see one of those signs, I want you to read to me how many miles an hour I'm supposed to drive in the car. Or he didn't miss one. If he would, you know, at first he started missing. I said, wait a minute, you missed that sign. And that was teaching him about details and learning, teaching him about numbers, and teaching him to observe what's around him. And then we started reading street signs. So, you know, you can teach your children very young age. When they get 5 and 6 years old, you can teach them, you know, about Jesus. When they're birthed in your belly, you can teach them about Jesus and the love that he has for them. You can tell them, you know, I remember teaching one time. It was so funny. I was at a church. And, you know, I've taught in different churches, right? I lived in different cities at time to time. So this particular age group, the youngest we had was about 5 months old, and I think the oldest was 3. So So I was teaching them. I said, okay, now, God made the trees. He made the sun. He made the moon. He made the stars. He made all the animals. He made the bears. He made the lions. And God made you. And so I go around and I say, now, who made you? God made me. Now, who made you? God made me. I got to one little boy. He said, I said, who made you? I made me. I said, no, God made you. He stuck to that for a while. God made. He said, I made me. I said, no, God made you. So, you know, we have to correct our children and let them know the truth so they won't grow up thinking that, you know, they were formed by themselves. They can learn Bible scriptures at very young ages. They can learn to pray at very young ages. You know, a 7 to 11-year-old child, you know, they can even learn greater spiritual understanding. You know, I used to teach them sometimes something called scripture search. I'd give them all the same Bible. You know, not each one Bible, but I mean each one a different Bible of the same, you know, like all King James versions of the Bible. And I said, okay, now I'm going to call a scripture. And the first one that finds it, stand up and read it. Oh, my goodness. They were looking. I taught them how to use the table of contents. And even on Boys to Men, Girls to Legs, when I used to have a lot of children come on, I would teach them scripture search. And you talking about brilliant? Oh, one of them, Christopher, he was 6 years old. He would find them before the 11 and 12-year-olds would find them, and he'd start to read them. So we can teach them all kind of things. Then, you know, we would go over maybe Genesis 1:1, where it says God created the you know, the heavens and the earth, and we discuss what that means. And, you know, they come up with some amazing answers. You go like, my God, I didn't know, you know, that they could learn that concept. I didn't know they could learn this idea. They can learn and they understand. You know, their minds are not bogged down with how I'm going to pay the groceries, how I'm going to buy the groceries, how I'm going to pay the rent, how I'm going to pay the house note, you know, what bill's going to get paid this month, or what my boss said about that. They ain't bogged down, you know, about nothing. They're free. So you know what? We have to be as little children, too. We have to be free. So, you know, God's children, little ones, they can learn, you know, all about the Bible. They can learn what's right, what's wrong. They can learn the difference between what's not good for them, what's wrong for them. They can learn to obey the Ten Commandments. They need help from Jesus. We can teach them that Jesus can help them. We can teach them that the world is a big place, but God is a part of every part of it. You know, they learn what we teach them. And when they get a certain age, we can tell them, now listen, we've been telling you about God for a long time, but we want you to know God for yourself. We have God as our personal Savior, but what about you? You know, you were born into sin, but now it's time for you to know God for yourself. And so we can tell them at some point, you need to choose God for yourself. You need to choose God to be your Father. So, you know, we can teach our children about God from in the belly all the way through young adult until they leave our home. And even when they leave and they come to visit, we can remind them, are you still serving God? You know, it was a preacher used to come on. He said, this older woman used to say, are you yet holding on? You know, are you yet serving God? So, you know, when no matter what age we are, children, teens, young adults, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, my aunt is 101, and she's still praising God. So no matter what age you are, you know, some people wait till they get, you know, way up in age, God has blessed them, and they have still not received the Lord as their personal Savior. You know, you can get to an age where, you know, you are no good to yourself and nobody else. And, you know, God can still use you, but hopefully before, you know, you won't have a deathbed confession. You will start praising God at a young age. So, you know, I want to pray for families today, fathers, mothers, aunts, uncles, grandparents, et cetera. We all need prayer. I don't know about you, but I certainly need prayer. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I come today just to thank you for creating families, oh God. You are a great God, and there's nobody like you. Nobody as great as you. Nobody honorable like you. You are the mighty creator. You are the mighty God. Nothing is impossible to you. And, Father, I thank you that you called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. I thank you, oh God, for the privilege of being called your daughter, your sons, your daughters, your children. That's a privilege to be called by the Most High God. And we thank you today, Father God. We ask you to bless the fathers because fathers are the head of their families. You are the head of fathers. Even those who have not called you Lord, you are over them. Whether they know it or not, you created them, Father God. You still blow your breath in their breath, in their bodies every day, and they wake up. So, Father God, I thank you. I call the fathers that have left their homes, their household, that have left their wives, their children, back into the homes. I thank you for them taking their rightful places, oh God, taking responsibility, oh God. And I pray that you would move. I bind confusion in every home right now. We cast the enemy out of every home, oh God, and we plead the blood of Jesus in every home. We draw a bloodline of protection around every home, whether they live in an apartment or a house or wherever they may live, Lord God. We plead the blood of Jesus. And, Father, I just thank you for fathers like daddies, oh God, who love their sons, who love their daughters, who are bringing them up according to your plan, oh God, who study the word, and their children are learning that pattern of studying your word, who hear their fathers pray, oh God. It's nothing like hearing your daddy pray. So, Father, I thank you for children being able to hear their daddies pray, hear their mothers pray. And we thank you, oh God, in the name of Jesus, for providing for the fathers so they can provide for their wives and their children. And, Father, I thank you for the order that you put in families, oh God. And there are many families today without fathers. There are many fathers who are raising their children without mothers. But whatever the family order is, whether it's grandparents and children, fathers and children, mothers and children, fathers, mothers and children, we ask you, Lord, to bless each and every family, oh God. And we ask you to be their peacemaker. Put peace in every family. Remove confusion, remove upset, remove anger, bitterness, strife, and replace them with your love, your precious love, comfort and strength, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And I thank you that you created families to love one another, to train up the children the way they should go. And Father, we thank you for grandparents and uncles and aunts and cousins being a part of the families and being included in, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for godly relatives, oh God, who are still on the wall, who are praying for families, Father God. And we thank you today for what you're about to do for families in America, oh God. And Father, I thank you, oh God, I bind the hand of the enemy that would try to teach our children that it's okay if you're a boy, you can become a girl. That it's okay if you're a girl, you can become a boy. I bind that lie in the name of Jesus. Father, you made males to stay males, and you made females to stay females. In the name of Jesus, you are a righteous God, a holy God, and that is ungodly. So, Father, today I pray for marriages, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And as I pray the prayer from Apostle Kimberly Daniels' book, Prayer That Brings Change, it's called Prayer for Marriage Relationships. Father, in the name of Jesus, we totally dedicate our marriage relationship to you. We renounce the man-made institution of marriage and consecrate ourselves unto holy matrimony. You begat marriage, and we wholly submit to its covering according to your precepts and your Holy Spirit. Our marriages are anointed, and every yoke must bow down and be cauterized in the name of Jesus. We repent of the sins of our forefathers and the bloodline curses that came through are cauterized through four generations back. We renounce every curse that crossed over and through our union and send it back to the pits of hell. Not only is our marriage under an open heaven, but also our children's marriages are blessed for 1,000 generations. Our marriage beds are blessed. Our finances are blessed. Our children from these unions are blessed. And those who are from any other union are now covered under the blessing because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father God, that our homes and business affairs are blessed in the name of Jesus. The blessings of Abraham are running us down and taking us over because we are dedicated our lives to and obey the precepts of God. Curses have no rule over us. We renounce all outside ungodly influences over our marriages from family members, associates, or previous relationships. All soul ties and cords are broken in the name of Jesus, and sympathetic magic is under our feet. We bind the memory of recall, whereby the enemy will present us with past challenges. We bind the spirit of Hydra from lifting its head. All old things have passed away, and all things in our marriages have become new. Our marriage is growing toward God, level to level, and glory to glory. We come into agreement and bind white magic, portion magic, candle magic, imitative magic, defensive magic, contagious magic, phone voidance, the curse of the in-laws, pseudo-responsibility, ungodly acquaintances on assignment against our relationship, and rebellion against the perfect will of God for our lives. We bind imagery, magnification, mental locution, blocking spirits, all fixed ideations, curses through negative confession, and the working of, Akishic records against where we are presently in God. We bind sexual perversion away from our household and take authority over the covenant-breaking spirit. We renounce all idols and permanently remove them from our hearts and our homes in the name of Jesus. We bind enchantment, bewitchment, assassination, fault-finding, vexation, confusion, division, distrust, dishonesty, disloyalty, suspicion, celibacy, impotency, the zombie spirit, the warring spirit, the spirit of the hypocrite, financial stress and arguments stirred up by financial disagreements, and we bind the spirit of ungodly counsel, lethal, Lemia, Ahab, Jezebel, Ishmael, Arcani, Batman, and Poltergeist. Get out of our homes now. Our homes belong to Jesus. And now that all these forces have been bound, we release the perfect will of God for our family. We now declare that our house, that as for our houses, we will serve the Lord. Amen. So I thank God for his word. His word is truth. And he calls for us to lift up the name of Jesus in prayer. So we thank God that he allows us to pray and call on his name daily. You know, he didn't say what time or when. He never slumbers nor sleeps. Our lesson this week is taken from Proverbs 10 and 9. And, you know, God's word is very, very true. You know, it's been proven over and over and over and over and over. And a lot of people, you know, they don't even read the word, but they try to use the word on us. So you know what? We have to stay prayed up, studied up, so we will know the word of God when we hear it. Because just like Satan went to Eve, he'll come to us and try to slip, you know, switch up the word of God, change it. But Proverbs 10:9 says, "He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his way shall be known." You know, we've been in Proverbs for quite some time. Now, that's the King James Version. Now, here's Proverbs 10:9 in the New King James Version. He who walks with integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will be known, will become known. You know, what is surely? It's in a sure manner, without danger or risk or injury or loss, safety, with assurance, confidently. You know, when a person has accepted Jesus Christ as Lord, Savior, we must begin to walk and live upright. Upright means honest. What does it mean to be honest? Have you ever been in a situation where you knew the right thing to do, but it seemed so difficult? It may have been a friend to ask you to tell a lie for them. Your parents told you to lie for them. Or you probably can think of many examples. Now, let's switch. Can you think of examples when you were dishonest? I remember when I was in the seventh grade, you know, we were taking a test. I went to James Weldon Johnson here in Jacksonville, Florida, and the teacher, you know, gave the rules before the test. And I broke the rule. I looked across from my desk at somebody else's paper. So the teacher came and put a big F on my paper. You know, that was something that I had to learn. I learned, you know, from that lesson. I learned not to do that anymore. So I thank God, you know, for teachers. It seems kind of harsh at the time, but you know what? I bet you I learned not to do that anymore because I didn't want to make F's and fail in school. You know, my parents would have been disappointed, and, you know, so would I. It would hurt me if I had to stay back in school. So that taught me to never look on anybody else's paper and to keep my eyes where they belong on my own paper. What situations have you faced that you chose to be honest in? Solomon was a wise man, and he learned many things as a child from his own father, who was David, and his mother. So he taught his son. He taught his son so his son could choose to live a righteous, upright life, to do the right thing. You know, parents, we are to train our children, our sons and our daughters, to live according to God's plan. Thank God that he does have a plan. You know, he could have just put us here on the earth and just going about his business. He got a lot of business to take care of. But thank God he keeps us in the palm of his almighty hand. And he didn't just birth us here to sit down, go to work, come home, eat, go to school, look at TV, you know, do whatever we want. No, no. He put a purpose within us. So observe your children to see what that purpose might be that God put. Do they like a lot of music? Every time you turn around, they listen to music, 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 music. Maybe they're going to be a musician like David. You know, David played the harp so well. The Bible says it soothed the savage beast. It would soothe King Saul when he was upset. It would just calm him down. You know, you may have a plan for your children, but God has a plan. Whose plan is going to be there, your plan or God's plan? So ask God, what's your plan for my child? What plans do you have for my child? You know, and hopefully you know his plans for you. So if you don't, ask him. Say, Lord, why did you birth me here on the earth? I know you put me here for a reason. It's not just to, you know, roam the street every day, go do what you want to do. Ask him what his plan is. So your plan may be for your child to become a football player, an opera singer, a fireman. So you train them up in that direction. God says in Proverbs 22, train them up in the way they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart from that. Now, what way should they go? God's way. God is an awesome God. He's an awesome God, and he has a plan. He has ways. What are his ways? When you study the Bible, it will teach you God's ways. What are his ways for your children? You know, he has ways that he wants the children brought up. He certainly has ways that, you know, he wanted you brought up. Now, whether your parents did it or not, he has ways. You know, we are to train our children in the ways of God, teach them what God's word says, you know, to bring them up uprightly. Uprightly means honest and just, conscientious, scrupulous, honorable, having or showing strict regard for what's morally right, a strict adherence to, you know, God's word. They should go, you know, what's the way they should go? God's way. He said, you know, so when they get old, they won't depart from it. Now, you know, they're going to sin like we sin. They're human. But, you know, they have to go to God and ask for forgiveness. He said in Proverbs 10:9, that they must walk upright, to be honest, just, reasonable, faithful. Are you reasonable with your children? Be careful not to be unreasonable. Maybe they made all A's and got one B, but you wanted them to get straight A's. And so, you know, you became a little harsh, speaking to them, fussing with them. You know, you even gave them additional homework, whatever it was. Could you have handled the situation differently? How could you handle it? Sometimes, you know, parents need to repent or ask forgiveness from their children. You know, we're not too proud to ask forgiveness. Listen, you know, even when I taught, I would ask forgiveness for my whole class, say, excuse me, you know, today Miss Gantley was not feeling well, and I was not really, you know, fair with you all, but I apologize, and let me make it up to you. So, you know, we can make apologies to our children. Grown people can make apologies to each other as well as to children. When you, you know, say harsh things to them, ask them to forgive you. They're quick to forgive, quick. Upright also means having or showing strict regard for what is morally right. Do you talk to them about having good morals? What are good morals according to God's laws and standards? You know, some people think they have good morals, but is it according to God's standards? He has moral standards. In Romans 12:1, he says, I beseech you and I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know, we have to give our bodies to the Lord, no matter what age we are. And we have to teach our children to do the same thing. You know, we can't have some standards and we say, oh, well, they're children. Now, y'all, look, this is how I did it, but this is how y'all can do it. No, we got to live what we're telling them. They're smart. They know at very young ages if you're not living right. They'll tell you, young ages, they'll tell you, mama, daddy, no. So we are called to consecration. God calls us to consecration, a call to personal consecration. Exodus 32:29. For Moses had said, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, even every man upon his own son and his brother, that he might bestow upon you a blessing this day. 1 Chronicles 29:5, the gold for things of gold and the silver for things of silver, for all that matter of the work to be made by the hands of the artifices. And who is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? We have to consecrate ourselves unto God. Proverbs 23:26. My son, give your heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So, you know, we have to give ourselves unto God. And not just tell our children, we have to do it too. When they see you always in the TV or not even picking up the Word of God, that's what they're going to do too. You say, did you read your Bible? And you haven't even read yours. No, they know we're hypocrites. And we don't want to be hypocrites with our children. What we're teaching them, we want to do it too. We have to do what we're teaching them. We can't have separate rules. You know, we say, well, I'm grown. Yeah, you grown. But you still have to live a particular way before your children and before, you know, God. God watches us. He watches everything that we do. And, you know, the thing about God, he already know what we're going to do before we do it. He already know. He's just watching us. So, you know, many times we have to repent. Lord, forgive me, you know. I did this, Lord. I meant to do that, but I did something else. Now, you know, in that verse that we're studying in Proverbs, it says, he that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his way shall be known. What is pervert? Pervert is to overturn, to corrupt, to cause to turn aside or away from what is good or true or morally upright. It's corrupt, misdirect, to divert to a wrong end or purpose, to misuse, to twist the meaning or the sense of misinterpretation. One given to some form of sexual perversion. So, you know what? We can't even be perverted in any way. We have to live pure, holy lives before God. Pure, holy lives. Pure, holy lives. And that's the lives that God wants us to live. We can't live any way we want to live and belong to God. So, you know, we have to consecrate ourselves before God. Consecrate ourselves before God. Do not follow those that are perverse. And tell our children about them so they don't follow people that are perverse. You know, in 2012, we are and our children are faced, even confronted, to make choices about sexuality, whether they will be what God has chosen them to be or whether they will disobey God's law and be someone other than who God chose them to be. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I didn't grow up, you know, with all kind of perverse things. We had some in our community, but it was very, but now it's getting very, very, someone was saying a few months ago that a five-year-old was suing a school board in their city because it was a girl, five-year-old girl, wanted the permission to go to the boys' bathroom. For what? When there's a girl's bathroom she can go to. She was claiming that she was a boy. Now, she was claiming that she was a boy. Now, who taught a five-year-old that? You know she didn't get that idea on her own. So, you know, we have to be careful how we're training up our children. You know, that's perversion when we're teaching them. And many people nowadays, you know, gay couples are adopting children. And what are the children learning? They're certainly not learning God's ways. We have to let our children know that God is against perversion, and so are we. Whether if they were born to be a male, let them remain a male. If they were born to be a female, they should be stay female. Let's look at Galatians 5:16-25. Galatians. You know, the Bible has everything in it that we need. God didn't leave anything out. We can't say, well, Lord, we didn't know that. Yeah, we know. If you study, if you obey him, he says, study to show yourselves approved. In other words, study to please me so you'll know how to please me. And you'll know what don't please me so you'll know how to please me. So, in Galatians, the 5th chapter, verse 16, it says, this I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth after the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that they cannot do the things that, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelings, and such the like, which I tell you before, as I have told you, you know, also before in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections of lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. God's word is true, and we can't obey it in some areas and disobey it in others. We got to obey everything. I heard an older person say, yeah, but you know, I just can't give that up. Oh, well, that means you have not totally given your life to the Lord. He said, I beseech you, brothers, by the mercies of your grace, that you, you know, give your bodies a living sacrifice. Give your bodies a living sacrifice. What's the sacrifice? You know, if the doctor said, you know, well, you know, you got this, and you should not eat this, and you should not drink that, and you shouldn't do this, what you going to do? You have to make a choice. Do you want to be healthy, or you just want to stay unhealthy? So we have to make choices. So let's be examples as we train our children up in the ways that God would have us train them up. Well, we will continue on our study next week. It is salvation offering time. Anybody who's not saved, press one. You know, God said he don't want anybody lost. He wants all men to repent and be saved. That's why he sent Jesus. Okay, it appears that everyone's saved. Anybody backslidden? Anybody, you know, doing things that's against God's will? You know, I've backslidden many times. God says he's married to the backslider. Good thing he was married to me, because he called me back again. And I thank God that he gave me chance after chance after chance. And guess what? He's no respecter of persons. He gives you the same chance. Anybody need prayer today? Press 1. All right. Hold on, Brother David. Good evening.
Good evening, Sister G. Hey. First of all, I want to say I appreciate you for your message today. I know it's God and not you, and that he's working through you, but I got to tell you that's a phenomenal message today. And do you know that some doors get closed on you when you stand up against what God says? And 'cause some people, you know, they want you to go along and don't say nothing about it and say that's the way of new things and you're supposed to love everybody. I understand you're supposed to love everybody no matter what they're doing, but you're also supposed to love God. And if you love God, you're going to obey his words. And just, I hate that you had to see these different situations developing for people making all these exceptions in life, but the more we make exceptions, the more it's going to be compounded. And then pretty soon it's going to be out of hand. But, you know, I think we do have to stand up and say where we stand. You know, we either love God or we love man. So I'm touched by that. And I'm also, you know, you said if I ask God for patience, that the trials are going to come my way, you wouldn't judge me because they still coming. And I love them. I love them because it caused me to look back over my life and see what God then brought me through. And to know that, you know, 40 years of living, thank the Lord, 40, that number 40 is just ringing with me strong this year. You know, God is saying, make sure you enjoy that 40 now. because, you know, people, the message being that those people had an 11-day journey through that wilderness. It was just 11 days, but it took them 40 years because they was complaining and whining and crying and, you know, the significance of 40. So I'm thanking God right now for what I'm going through in life because I'm determined to be happy. And, you know, the devil, he don't like when you make a declaration that you're going to be happy because you know God is with you and he ain't going to leave you. The devil get real upset then, and he going to attack you every which way but loose, call you all types of names. And I was told I talk too much and don't listen. And you know, that ain't true. In some situations, I do talk a whole lot. That's because I know the devil want to get in with his negative word, and I'm not going to let him in. I'm not going to let him get his say-so. So, you know, I just like I sat on here and listened to you, I go to Toastmasters and I listen. There's a situation where God put me where I have to be quiet and listen. You know, but the devil, he'll work on you. He'll get you to shut your mouth so you won't say scripture. You won't say what God say. You'll sit and listen to all this negative stuff and let it pour into you. But I feel today that you got the right, the God-given right to shut off negativity or anything that is not of God. And I just thank you for your praying and all that you do. I just want you to know I appreciate you. That's all.
I appreciate you, too. I appreciate you and Sister Donna. You are a blessing in my life. But, you know, just like you said, God hates sin. He don't hate the person, but he hates the sin. And that's what he's getting at us. He don't want us to sin. We can live sin-free lives. But the thing about it is, you know, our children make choices, sometimes the wrong choices, so we have to make sure we're training them up in the way that God wants them to go so they can know how to make choice. That's what Solomon was teaching his son. So, Brother David, I appreciate those words of wisdom. Yeah, today I didn't know exactly what I was going to be or how but God was going to lead me to do the message, but I'm like, okay, God, I didn't know I was going that way. But whatever he says, that's the way I go. So that's kind of the way he led me to do the lesson.
Praise
anybody
the Lord.
Else?
I'm moving on in to karate practice.
All right. Have a great class.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Comment? Prayer? Press 1. Well, looks like all is quiet. I thank God for each of you. You know, I'm going to say a closing prayer in a minute. But I thank God for each of you coming on weekly. You know, I have some people like Brother David, Sister Donna, and Sister Audrey. Weekly, you all support me, and I really appreciate you. I tell you, when I see your numbers show up on the internet, I just get so happy. I'm so excited. I'm like, yay, they support me every week. I thank God for it. It's encouragement to me, and, you know, it keeps me encouraged. So I thank God for you. Don't just think you're just holding on the phone. You know, I know you're there, and I thank God for you. So if there's no other, nobody else want to say anything, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to meet again on Saturday. Don't forget, Saturday morning we have Bible Storyland. It will be Senior Citizens Day. 8 a.m. Central Standard Time, 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. The call-in number, 1-619-789-4313. So I look forward to it. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just love and adore you, and we love your ways. We embrace your ways, oh God. Father, we have sinned many times against you, but we thank you that you are a forgiving Father. We thank you that you are a loving God and that you just want what's best for us. And when you use the rod of correction, you are making sure, Lord God, that we are not off the path of righteousness, that we are staying on your path. Your path is a holy path. Your path is a righteous path. And, Father, we just thank you today for everything that you're doing for families, oh God. We thank you for the provisions. We thank you for the excellent help. We thank you for the care, for being our help, oh God, in the midst of storms that families go through, oh God. And, Father, we thank you for fathers and mothers being healthy and children being healthy, extended families being healthy, oh God. in the name of Jesus. Money can't buy health, oh God. But, Lord, we know that you are our health, oh God. You are our strength. You said that, beloved, above all, you wish that we prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers. So, Father God, as we hear the word, study the word, put the word, apply the word to our lives, I thank you that our souls are healthy as well as our bodies. And we thank you that you are the great and mighty physician. Doctors are limited, but you are the unlimited physician. And, Father, not only are you a physician, you are a mighty provider. Oh, Father God, when it looks like our supplies are getting low, you keep providing. And, Father, we lift up those who are starving in this world. Father, recently I looked at a news broadcast where children, their stomachs were distended, and there's not much skin on their bones, oh God, not much flesh on their bones. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for providing for those children and their mothers and fathers who have to watch them suffer, oh God. And, Father, I thank you for being providing healthy food, healthy water for them to drink, oh God. Father, you said whatever we ask in your name, believing you will grant it. Well, I believe that you're going to make a turnaround in these countries where a lot of people are drinking muddy water, unhealthy water, oh God, and where they don't have hardly any food, where their land is not able to grow things, oh God. Make a turnaround for them, Father God. We cry out for them, Father God, because in America we have abundance. Even though there are homeless people on the street, we still see sometimes, Lord God, people eating out the trash cans, oh God. But we ask you to provide us not because we don't have here in America. We do have, oh God. But make a way, Lord God. I lift up Sister Beverly and families of slain children where she feeds the homeless every Tuesday, oh God. Raise up people like her, oh God, to feed the homeless, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, oh God, for what you're doing and what you're going to do. And, Father, in a few weeks, our children will be returning back to school. So I thank you for safety and protection for them as they go in, as they come out. I thank you for them realizing that the institutions where they go are learning institutions, oh God. Let learning come back in the school. Let respect come back in the school, oh God. Father, they kicked you out, but we believe that you're going to be back into the public schools in prayer, oh God. Father, many of our children have been shut down in the schools, oh God. We repent, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Have mercy, oh God. Have mercy on our children as they go to school daily. Bring them back home safely, Father God, in the name of Jesus. We repent for all the sodomites in the land, oh God, that bring moral decay to our land. Forgive us, oh God, and bring uprightness back into our land, righteousness and holy ways back into our land, Father God, so that we can live righteous, holy lives, and we can have you, Jehovah Shalom. Oh, Father God, let learning come back into our schools, learning about you, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And so, Father, I thank you for fathers and mothers who are godly parents who pray for the children of this nation, oh God. I thank you, oh God. We bless you and we honor you as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we honor your holy presence as you be with us weekly and daily, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you that you are the great God, Lord God Almighty. There's nothing too hard for you. So we thank you. We come to cast every care that we have upon you, oh God, because your yoke is easy, your burden is light. And we just thank you, oh God, for being our Father as well as our friend. Greater love have no friend like you. You laid down your very Son's life for us, oh God. And we thank you, Jesus, for the sacrifice that you made in Jesus' name. We praise and honor you, O Most High. And we thank you for being our God, our King, our Lord, our Shepherd. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, have a God-filled evening, a God-filled week, a God-filled month, and a God-filled year. Know that I love you, but God loves you even more. So until until Saturday, don't forget. We look forward to hearing from you on Saturday. So I'll talk to you later. Love y'all. Bye.